Book of Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter number 10. Jeremiah, chapter number 10. This evening, read the first three verses. Responsively, I'll read verse number 1, and then you'll read with me verses 2 and 3. Jeremiah, chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." Finish verse number 3 with me, if you will. "For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe." And let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, and we thank you for its simplicity. Lord, we thank you for how it applies the whole Bible to our life each and every day if we'll just read it. Lord, the importance of the word of God is underestimated. But Holy Spirit, I'm afraid also many times we underestimate the importance of your presence in our life. Lord, this evening will be just a waste of time. It will be just another vain tradition that's kept by men if your presence is not here this evening. Holy Spirit, each and every one of us that are saved, you're living within us. Lord, may we yield ourselves to you. May our minds be focused on the truth. May we be in tune with your spirit, Lord. We ask that our pastor, as he yields himself to you and preaches the word of God, that, Lord, our hearts would be in accord to the preaching and the truth that's being presented to us here this evening. We'll ask that you keep our minds focused and that you'll keep our hearts settled, Lord, for the remainder of the service. Keep the distractions to a minimum. May we hear the word of God. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. And I'm going to talk tonight about education, in particular what I would consider Christian education. I want you to notice something that God says here in verse number 2. God says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." Amen. Verse number 3 says, "For the customs of the people are vain." Those are two statements that we're going to key on, and I'm coming back to them, but I feel like I need to make some foundation statements here. If you think that I am lifting myself, I'm not. I just want you to understand some things and where we're headed. I am a firm believer in educating people. I think an ignorant people are a people that are easy to be taken over by anybody. I really do. It bothers me that we're dumbing down America. That's right. And I'll get into that in a little while here. By the way, did you see that the CDC just this week dumbed down the standards for children? Used to be you had to speak 50 words by the age of 4. Now they've dropped it to, I think, like 30 words. Well, it's due to COVID. Well, if that's the case, then they're spending more time at home with parents than they ought to be speaking more, not less. I have a high school diploma. I have a bachelor's degree. And I have my doctorate. God has allowed me to be a part of educating people for the last over 32 years. Not just in a church situation, but I mean in school situations. I've got well over a quarter century in educating people. I tried to do some math. I can safely say this. Either is Christian day school, or in teaching, administrating, or in Bible colleges. I've been in two Bible colleges. I've helped be a principal in two Christian day schools, and I taught in another one. So in 5 different school situations, I have trained well over 10,000 students. I have a little bit of experience. I don't claim to know it all. I did not receive an education degree in college. I got a preaching degree, by the way. Preaching is educating, by the way. I'm not even counting all the times I've preached. This is just in actual school situations. But I think I know something about how to properly educate people. I really do. I've been doing it a long time, so I think if you'll listen to me, I can teach you some things from the Word of God, and I want you to listen carefully with a spiritual ear tonight. God tells us, learn not the way of the heathen. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to learn, we're not supposed to study what lost people do. He said, don't learn the way they learn. The heathen will train you to learn in a way that will drive you away from God, not towards God. Their ways are the issue. It also says the customs of the people are vain. Now, we have fallen prey in America that the big federal government says it, so it must be best. Have you noticed the big federal government doesn't even know what it's doing yet? The modern public education system is a mess. Yep. But your federal government tells you that it's the best, so we believe it. Untold trillions of dollars have been spent, and only 3 out of every 4 students that enter public school graduate. That means there is a fallout rate of 25%. Add to that, the literacy rate of these graduates is lower than it's ever been. 15% of high school graduates cannot read. And over 22% can't read above a 5th grade level. That's 37%. That's 1/3 of the school students that graduate can't read or can't read above a 5th grade level. I'm just going to read you the numbers that they publish. 85% of all juveniles in the court system and 70% of all inmates in prison can't read above a 4th grade reading level. They go hand in hand. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Should we let public education set the standard? I refuse to accept the customs of the people in thinking that our government, that is $30 trillion in debt, can effectively teach math to our kids. Or business. I refuse to accept that government that can't tell the truth can teach morality to children. I refuse to believe that a government that can patrol your child's lunchbox, but we also have to have metal detectors and police and drug sniffing dogs in our schools is acceptable in America. I hate to tell you something, it ought not be that way. I rebel at the idea that our children must learn the way of the heathen. Now, we have a smaller church. We're not going to start a school to have a big school. Grace Baptist Church is starting a school this fall. You say, what's the name, preacher? Grace Baptist Church School. That was decided years ago, and it's been registered with the State Board of Education for years. It's in our Constitution. I decided a long time ago, didn't know when we're going to do it, but thought might as well, since we're doing everything at once, get it on the books. I honestly I really don't want to, but we're being forced to do it. We really are. I'm going to make some statements here. The best minds in American history were taught in a one-room schoolhouse. All of the leaders and heroes of the American Revolution were taught at home or in a one-room schoolhouse. The men who wrote and signed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were all educated in a one-room schoolhouse. Most of them did not even go to school beyond 8th grade. They did all of that on an 8th grade education. Many of them studied on their own for college after eighth grade. Everybody doing okay? Every president from George Washington to Herbert Hoover went to a one-room schoolhouse or were educated at home. Our public schools now have nurseries and daycare for the babies of students. That's deplorable. 40 years ago, if a high school student got pregnant, she got kicked out of school and she didn't graduate. And the boy that got her pregnant got kicked out too. And they called it getting in trouble. They weren't proud of it. Everybody doing okay? Our government schools pass out birth control and promote murdering babies in the womb. Where is that right? Our public schools promote sodomy and criticize the Bible, God, and Christianity. We've kicked God out, and now, well, let's let them be whatever they want to identify as. They can use whatever bathroom they want, right? I hate to tell you, if my daughter was in a bathroom or a locker room and some boy walks in, they're going to get the head knocked off. If she didn't do it, I'd be standing there going in after him. Our system is a mess. Now, I'm going to make another statement here. Do we want these customs to set the standard of education today? Communism and socialism has replaced capitalism and Christianity in public schools. They are now teaching that capitalism is bad and that socialism is good. Why do you think all these college students are leaning towards socialism? They're being taught not just at the college level, but at the high school and junior high level, and even beyond that. We've replaced the Bible with critical race theory and the LGBTQ plus alphabet soup crowd. They now have a plus at the end because they think there's too many letters to add to it and confuse people. I could solve the whole thing. Boys, girls, that's it. It solves the whole problem. If the current system works so well, why do we have more people dependent upon the government to provide everything for them instead of fewer people? Why are there more people on the rolls for government programs, government assistance, and paying for all of their bills through the government? Why are there more people that way, not less? I refuse to accept that God-hating heathens know better how to educate than God does. I just refuse to accept that. I don't have a bad attitude, or at least I'm not showing it that way. I'm not screaming and hollering. I'm going to give you facts and going to give you a plan. I want your children to learn how to read, to write, to be good at math, understand science, not Dr. Fauci, better than government schools. Check my record. Kindergarten graduations, I used to go to my office, pull a book off my shelf randomly, walk out to kindergarten graduation, open it up and tell a five-year-old to read this page and watch them read any page I turned into any book I had. 5 years old, kindergarten graduation. Not fifth graders, 5 years old. I could take any book off of my shelf. My kindergartners could read. I believe in it. I believe in a truth-based, God-honoring education is not inferior, it is superior to government education. An education based on truth, thy word is truth, O Lord, is better than anything the government will give your children. Their education is not based on truth, it's based on opinion, lies, and a false doctrine. Now, everybody doing okay? That was just the introduction. We haven't even started preaching yet. Number one, no school or no system will be perfect because it involves sinners. May I say, before we ever have our first class, before we ever have our first student, Grace Baptist Church School will not be perfect because it involves people. And all of us are sinners. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, are a sinner? Guess what? How many of you have children that are sinners? Every one of you. Did you know that teachers and administrators are sinners too? That means this: not everything will be perfect. Just accept it. But it'll be closer to truth than what they're getting now, for sure. Nothing but this book right here is perfect. At our school, 2 + 2 = 4, and no other answer will be acceptable, no matter how they try to explain it. Amen. We're not teaching the new math. We're not teaching new spelling. Well, that's how it sounds, so we'll have to accept it. If it's spelled wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Period. Well, you might make little Junior cry. Good, then he'll learn how to spell it right. Did you know there was a day when students didn't tell teachers and parents what to do? That the student didn't decide what needed taught, the teachers did? Boy, that's a foreign concept. Did you know we can teach truth perfectly and not use opinion or feeling? Do you know, we can teach your children the multiplication tables, the division tables, the addition and subtraction, and we can teach them that it's always the same. Did you know that 5 + 5 = 10? That's a truth. You can't change it. You can't have $5, add $5 more, and get $11. That's how the government tries to do math, but that's not how it works. So we can teach truth in a perfect way with imperfect people because the truth doesn't change. We don't have to add, well, I feel we should do, it doesn't matter how you feel, it don't give a flip. Amen. The truth is the truth. I love you. If a kid fails a test, they're going to get an F. So, well, I don't think that's fair. Then they ought to work harder next time. I don't think you ought to take somebody who studied hard and make their grade suffer because somebody that didn't study hard didn't get a good grade. That's welfare. It's called grading by a curve, and I'm against it. That's welfare education. Now, we are all sinners, living among sinners, and children need to learn how to function as a sinner with other sinners. Did you know I think school is important? And I'm not saying that if you homeschool, you're bad. But what I'm saying is a school situation is good because children need to learn how to associate with other sinners and get along with other sinners. It's vital. They're going to have to do it someday. Now, I want to go back to real education and not mimic the way of the heathen for our school. I promise you, we have in our files right now all the requirements that are necessary for us to have a school. We have to have 180 scheduled days. We have to have a certain amount of hours of school time. We have all those things in place. We have to turn in the state testing once a year. And as long as we hit an acceptable range, which we will exceed it far past anything that they have ever seen, as long as they do that, they leave us alone. I already know what the laws are. We've already registered with the state. We're getting all the approvals necessary and things getting ready to get started. But did you know that in the 1800s, by the time a girl turned 15, she could get her teaching certificate? 15. When she turned 15, she could go to a higher education place, take tests, And if she passed those tests, she got her certificate and she could go back and teach other people at the age of 15. We have 15-year-olds that now have to have a nursery so they can try to finish school. What happened back in 2000 with President Bush when he passed No Child Left Behind, and they said every child must learn how to read by third or fourth grade, and all the educational system, the NEA, rebelled and said, that's too hard to force a child to read by third grade. My kindergartners did far better than that. Now, I'm not afraid of the laws of the land. Those don't bother me. I will follow those laws. Now, listen to me carefully here. We're not going to take 60 days off at 180 days of school. We're not going to celebrate every holiday the public school system celebrates. Shoot, they celebrate holidays that weren't even holidays. We're not going to have a certain amount of teacher work days every semester. Say why? They're working with the students. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to have many school day or snow days. If your kid doesn't show up, it'll be excused. But if everybody can get to school that can, they get there, fine. Say why? I think we ought to make it a little tougher. Did you know that people used to go to school when there was snow on the ground? I know that's hard to believe. Did you know just because it got cold, they didn't shut the schools down? I lived about 3 miles from the school that I attended, 3 or 4 miles. I used to stand out on the corner for the bus. Now, you got to understand, I grew up in northeastern Ohio. We get a lot of snow and we get a lot of cold. We used to get a lot of cold there. I remember standing on snowdrifts as high as my pulpit at the bus stop, to where we had to climb down off of it to get down into the bus because we're too high. We couldn't, you know, if there was a plank across there, you could have jumped and you still had to go down into the bus. And it would be 10, 15, 20 below zero without the wind blowing, and you stood out waiting for the bus. They didn't cancel school because it was cold. No, I didn't go to school and walk 3 miles to school and 4 miles home in the snow. But we did go to school. 1976, in January of 76, we had a huge blizzard. We got 36 inches of snow in 20 hours. Do you know that we went to school that morning and they let us go after lunch? And that was the first time I ever got to go home from school early. We already had about a foot of snow on the ground. The next year, in 1977-78, we had another blizzard come through and we got over 46 inches of snow in 24 hours. We went to school during that. I think we ended up getting 2 days off of the one and a day or two off the other one. We weren't off for a week. Some dog didn't wet on the road and it froze and they canceled school for everybody. It didn't happen that way. Now, I believe for good education, rules have to be followed. Did you know that the word instruct is a word of discipline, rules? The actual word instruct involves rules. So, we're going to have a handbook. We're going to have rules. I'm going to ask the students and the parents to learn how to follow it. Everybody doing okay? You say, why? Because some rules are just important because it's the only way to administrate things properly. I'll use the most obvious and the most ridiculous. There is nothing sinful about chewing gum. Now, personally, I think it's stupid. But if you're going to chew on something, why not swallow it and get it over with? Sitting there just chewing on it like cow chewing on cud doesn't make sense to me. But chewing gum, there's nothing sinful about it. But there is a rule in the handbook saying students aren't allowed to chew gum in school. You say, why? Because of where they put it and what they do with it. You say, well, my kid knows how to do it. Yeah, today. And here's the problem. If we based it off of how they've done with it in the past, what do we do when they do wrong with it? And do you stand at the door? Okay, you can't do it, but you can. You can't, and you can. And day by day, it would change. It becomes an unadministratable rule unless you say, nobody gets to do it. So, nobody gets to do it. There's nothing sinful about it, but the only way to administrate the rule is to make it the same for everybody. Does that make sense to everybody? And I've had to do this a lot, so help me with this. The school will be a ministry of our church. It'll be an extension of our church. That means this: when the kids go to the Christian school, I look at that like people that step up to help serve in our ministries, and the rules will be a little higher there. Not because they're bad, it's because I'm trying to make them better. There'll be more things expected of them. I'm not opening our school to anybody outside the membership of Grace Baptist Church. Nobody. If my brother's family moved here and went to a church in somewhere else, and they wanted to put their kids in our school, I'd say, no, you have to join my church for your kids to go to school, and we're going to have church attendance requirements. Families are going to have to be in Sunday school and Sunday morning church and either Sunday night or Wednesday night church every week. Say why? Because if you don't like what's happening here, you're not going to like what's happening in the school. Trust me. I think that's important. They go hand in hand. And by the way, if you love the church, you're going to love the school. You will. You're not going to understand it all at first. I get that. I'm not sure we're going to understand it all at first, but we'll have a better idea than most. Number two. So, first of all, I believe that no school system is perfect because it involves sinners at every level. Number two, education is to be a balance of the mind, the body, and the spirit. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Let me show you a few things in Scripture here. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse number 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, notice what God says here. Your mind, your soul, and with your heart. Okay, turn to Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse number 26. Luke chapter 10, verse number 26. He said unto them, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now notice somebody had to be smart enough to be able to read, right? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So God says here that we learn to love God by loving him all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. That's body, soul, and spirit. This means biblical, godly, truthful education will train the body. It'll train the mind or the soul and the spirit. If we only train the mind, we have what we have in America today. You have a bunch of people that worship their own brain. Public education, and especially the upper levels of public education, is all about how intelligent they appear. But there's more to it than just teaching the Bible. But I think we can apply the Bible in all subjects. I really do. Say why? Because that keeps truth and the Word of God consistent throughout. Did you know that science is all through the Scriptures? Did you know that science, real science, agrees with Scripture? Not devolution, but science. Not Fauciism, science. Curriculum is only part of education, but it needs to be a truth-based, proven curriculum. By the way, we have one. It's called the ACE, Accelerated Christian Education, and it is a proven curriculum. No curriculum is perfect. I don't care where you got it, it's not perfect. Say why? Because we're all sinners. But I'll promise you this, it'll be stronger than anything kids are getting in the public school system. I'll guarantee that. And where I think it may be weak, I know how to strengthen it. I know what to do. Children need to learn how to get along with other people. Let me say that again. Children need to learn how to get along with other people. Don't crucify me for this. I believe children ought to learn how to get follow adults that aren't their mom and dad. They're going to have to someday. If the only person they'll obey is mom or dad, you are hurting your child. I believe that. They need to learn how to stand and walk in line, socialize with other children. Well, I can teach them that. Yeah, right. Go to the average store and see how people stand in line today. Not being taught. They need interaction with people that they're not related to. I really believe, and by the way, I've taught at the college level. Do you know that college is the first experience most people have to where they have to live in a dorm room with somebody that doesn't share the same last name? I used to say this all the time, and boy, this didn't go over well. But the relationship in college that is most like a marriage relationship is that of your dorm mates. Because you're living with somebody you're not related to for the first time. If you can't get along with somebody because of where their dirty clothes are, it's going to be just like getting married. There's more truth to that than you know. But we need to teach our children how to get along with people, not just their brothers and sisters or mom and dad. They're going to have to interact with people at work. They're going to have to interact with people at the store. They're going to have to interact with people their whole life. Why not start training them now so it's not so traumatic? I've watched people go to college who are homeschooled their whole life, and they can't make it often. I'm not saying that they're not able to intellectually, but socially, they're not always able to do it. They struggle. I'm not against homeschool, but it does have its limitations. It lacks in teaching the ability to get along with other people as strongly as it should. They need to learn discipline of the body. In school, you're supposed to learn the disciplines that it takes. That means this: kids need to learn how to sit on a chair and do their work, not get up and run around anytime they want to. They need to learn to raise their hand when they have a question, not just start talking. Everybody doing okay? They need to learn how to stand in line and not slap somebody in front of them and punch somebody behind them. I believe in exercise, learning agility. But I don't think that we're going to have the next NBA or NFL players come through our school. Matter of fact, I hope they don't. Say why? Because they're only interested in the body, not the mind or the spirit. Did you ever hear some of these professional athletes talk? Good, good, good. Good Lord. They don't have any more education than God gave an animal cracker. I think children need to learn how to work and not bother other people while they're working. And they need to learn how to deal with distractions when somebody is distracting. Isn't that part of education? Children need to learn how to make decisions and stick with their decisions. They need to learn how to keep their area clean, and they need to learn how to keep their body clean. If they come to school and they stink, they're going to get told, you need to take a bath tonight with soap and water if it's a boy. Yeah, and you probably ought to change your clothing more than once every other week, you know. There's just things to it. They need to learn how to put an answer on a paper and stick to it. and suffer the consequences if they didn't put the right one. They're going to have to learn to deal with demerits and discipline. Did you know that there was a day when those were normal things? They need to learn honesty and integrity. Those are things that you learn in a school situation. Now, let me say this, and I got to go to number three real fast here. A real education will be a balanced education that teaches and trains the mind, the body, and the spirit. If we can't educate all three, we're not doing it the way God said. It takes all three. Number three. By the way, I won't tell you which one of my kids, but I was my children's principal before we went to another place, and they went to another place, and I wasn't their principal anymore. And one of mine, the first week of school, went to the principal's office. I won't tell you which one it was. He got in trouble. He was in Mr. Sisson's office. He's sitting there just kicking his feet on the chair, just having a good old time. And he was told why he did what he did wrong, and he just smiling and kicking his feet like it was just a normal casual stroll. And the principal leaned over the desk and said, "Son, do you know where you're at?" "Yes, sir, principal's office." He said, "But my daddy was my principal, and I was used to sitting in his office." Mr. Sisson called me. I said, "Doc, what did you tell him?" He said, "I leaned over the desk, got in his little face and said, 'But I'm not your daddy.'" And he went, "Oh." And he had a board meeting that day. Applied to the seat of knowledge. Now, wait a minute. And he got another one when he got home, by the way. Now, let me say this. Your children need that kind of interaction every once in a while. Now, we are not going to be doing the paddling at the school. If a kid needs paddled, you're going to come in and do it. I'm not doing it, and he's not doing it. We'll inconvenience you. I'm not doing it. Tell you why. I paddled the three that I needed to paddle. You paddle your own. Amen. But there will be some things that require that, and you'll sign a paper and know what they are well in advance, and it's okay. By the way, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a kid that doesn't need it every once in a while. Number three, there will be an expense to educate your child. We can't do it for free. Listen to this statement. I wrote this down this week. Brother Mike, I was proud of myself. If I have one statement in the whole thing that I was proud of myself for, this is it. I believe it's an investment, not a cost. I believe it's an investment, not a cost. It's more than just you go to the store, go to Sheetz and buy something and you consume it and it's over. This is an investment that will last your child's lifetime. I went to the government websites and I pulled these numbers up. In the year 2021, $124.3 billion were spent on kindergarten through 12th grade education in America. $124.3 billion. That is $21,596 per student. Public education spends almost $22,000 per student every year. In the state of West Virginia, 80% of your tax, land taxes and property taxes and things goes to education. Whether you have kids in school or not, that's everybody. Our school will cost $2,000 a student per year. For a tithe, less than a tithe of what the public schools are charging, we can educate your child and they'll have a higher quality and a much better education. I can't do it for free. Now, if somebody dies and leaves us $1 million, we'll open it up for free for your kids. But until then, I don't have that kind of money to do it. I'm sorry. It's just not there. But let me ask you this question. Do you want the current welfare mentality of education is easy for all, including the parents, and I don't have to spend any money on it? Or are you willing to invest in something right for your kids? It may be that you don't buy your new computer this year, or your iPhone 14, or you shut down some of your video games and don't spend $200 a month on it. Put your $200 a month towards your kids' education. Might be that you have to sell a few things. If I had to sell my guns to put my kids in a Christian school, I'd do it. I have done it. I'm for having guns. But I'm more for my kids having a good education and not learning the way of the heathen or the customs of the land. Everybody doing okay? I love you. I told you it was going to get hard. By the way, $2,000 is almost nothing. We'll have qualified teachers in the classroom. Trust me. But may I say something? They're not going to make a lot of money. They're not. They're not interested in making money. They're interested in your kids getting educated. Now, I love you. This is where I'm going to hair lip a few, but that's okay. I need our church to help me raise $5,000 to get things started. We've already put some desks in. I bought them. It cost us half as much to get what we were going to build as it was going to cost us to build it. Brother Josh was looking and found a deal, and it literally cost us half as much to get. If you go down to this first classroom, Mrs. Barnes' Sunday school classroom, there's already 13 desks already mounted to the walls, and they fold up. We can lock them during Sunday school. We don't lose any floor space. We don't lose any Sunday school space. Monday morning, kids open their desk, fold it down, sit down, start working, and they got their desk there. It works very well. We've got a few extras in case we grow a little bit. We've got a few to grow into, but we've got startup costs with the curriculum and answer keys and different things. We've got some other stuff that we've got to get initiated, and it's going to cost us about $5,000 that I don't want to try to throw on all the parents and throw it in extra tuition one time, because it's a one-time cost. I think we can do it. If nothing else, I'll go get a $5,000 loan, paid it myself. I don't care. But I'm not going to ask the parents to pay that extra portion of things. My goal is, as our church grows, that the school grows, and I can knock down maybe a little bit how much the cost is. You say, preacher, go down? Yeah, go down, not up. But we've got to have a starting point. This is the starting point. Say, well, what about 5 years? I can't tell you 5 years from now because we're not there 5 years from now. My goal is, as we grow, to be able to knock down the price a little bit. It's not going to get cut in half. Now, again, if you know somebody that dies and leaves $1 million, we'll cut the cost. Doesn't bother me a bit. But $5,000 is not a lot to start a Christian school, just so you know. That will cover all the startup costs. It's also the tuition's going to cover taking care of some of the extra costs for toilet paper and paper towels and a little bit of the electricity. And it's not going to be a lot, but think of how many trips to the bathrooms your kid's going to make in 180 days, and you're going to figure out it's going to cost a little bit of money. Multiply that by a dozen or so, and that could add up to a good bit of money. So we've got to charge a little bit, but it's not exorbitant, I promise you. We're not paying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year salaries. My first full-time teacher is going to make $10,000 for the first year, just so you know. And if you know anything about a full-time salary, that's below poverty level. But we're not interested in making money. We're interested in educating your kids. By the way, our school will not do fundraisers. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I do a fundraiser. Public schools are charging almost $22,000, getting $22,000 per student, and they still do 4, 5, 6 fundraisers every year. I think that's criminal. I do. I think it's criminal. I don't want our kids going around begging money for a school. So we're not going to do it. I just believe that we ought to do it as it is. The school will cover its own cost, and we'll go forward. If we start with 10 or 12, we start with 10 or 12, and we'll pay the bills with it. If we grow to 20 or 25, we'll pay the bills with it and may be able to knock some things down a little bit. But we're going to do things and do it right, so the church is going to have to give a little bit, and we're not going to take it out of the budget. If you'd like to give towards it, you can put it on your tithing envelope where it says other, put school or GBCS, and you can add it to your tithe. Great, no problem. But we're going to figure it out and make it happen. Now, I've got to finish. It's 7 o'clock. How about we invest into the training of our children? Maybe instead of spending all your tax money that you get back this year from the government, maybe you ought to put it aside and put it away for a school bill. Maybe if there's more stimulus money coming, you put it towards a school bill and not buy more toys. There's not a person in here who has children that couldn't come up with $2,000 in a year, promise you. I want better for your children than to learn the way of the heathen. I'd like them to learn the way of the Lord, not the way of the heathen. Will it be perfect? No, because I'm a sinner. He's a sinner. You're a sinner, and your kids are sinners. It's not going to be perfect. By the way, your children can graduate from our school. Their diploma will go to any university, any state or federally funded college in America. Did you hear that? By the way, you can look it up in the West Virginia Code on education, that a church school or a private school, all universities must accept it, accredited or not. Accreditation doesn't mean it's not accepted. Hedgesville High School is not accredited, but they take government money. Most people don't even know that. So, no, we're not going to ask the government to accredit us. That'd be like asking the Mormons to come license me as a preacher. It ain't happening. I'm not about to do that. I don't need the government intervention to tell me we have the right to have a school. I have the right to have the school according to the Word of God right there, and by state law. So that's where we're headed with it. I need your help. Some of you that don't have children, I'm not asking you to sacrifice and spend a ton of money. But if everybody did a little, we could get this thing rolling pretty good. And it will come. Brother Josh will be overseeing it for me and with me. I'll have my fingers in it a bit here and there, but I can't do it myself. We have teachers already lined up, ready to go. Everything's cared for. We know what we're going with as far as curriculum. And we're putting some things in place initially because things were going on clearance, and we got them on clearance. Amen? I wasn't afraid of that. Say, well, what if we don't raise that money, preacher? It was on my credit card. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. You say, why? Because I believe in it that strongly. I really do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, I ask those of you that don't have children to pray. Those of you that do, pray that God will help you get what you need to help your kids be a part of it. Say, well, preacher, I just don't understand it all. You don't have to understand it all. Just know this. We're not going to learn the way of the heathen. It'll be a whole lot better.